The last few weeks we've been taking a somewhat leisurely look at the story of Joseph as it's unfolded from the time when he was taken by his brothers, sold into slavery, found himself in Egypt, and so on. We're now fast forwarding to the end of the story, and the way the clock is going, fast forwarding to the end of this sermon. Joseph has found himself as Pharaoh's trusted advisor, steering the nation through a period of famine and drought. Those living in neighboring communities are not so fortunate, and so Jacob, Joseph's father, his family, his brothers, travel to Egypt in order to buy food. There's a series of comings and goings until we finally arrive at the moment that was described in the reading we've just heard, when the whole family is brought together. Once again, Joseph reveals himself for who he always was, Jacob's son, the brother of his brothers, and there is a reconciliation at every level. There's a happy ending to this story. Decades earlier, Jacob himself had become reconciled with his brother Esau. Esau had stolen his birthright with the connivance of his mother. They had lived apart for many years, but eventually they were persuaded to be reconciled one to another. They overcame the natural inclination to take the grievance to the grave, so that in the lifetime of each of them, it became possible to rediscover the brotherly love they should have been their experience during their lifetime. At least they had that in the latter years. Too many people take their grievances to the grave. Those seemingly irreconcilable differences that grow up in life. The fallings out that we have with family and friends, colleagues, neighbours, whoever. The barriers we erect, the shutters we pull down, the divisions we put in place. And too many of us take all of that to the grave. So many conversations in the aftermath of bereavement, circumstances in and around a funeral, when the phrase, "if only," rises to the surface. If only I'd said so and so. Too late now. If only I'd made the effort to visit. Too late now. If only I'd bothered to find out how they were. Too late now. If only I'd known they were as ill as they were. Too late now. Stubborn pride gets the better of us so often. Paul was a genius. He was able to identify the issue that was at heart. In the Corinthian correspondence, it was all about divisions. They were falling out with one another within the church. Ridiculous, really. They were arguing over whose baptism was more significant. They had a succession of visiting ministers. And if the lot fell, the visiting minister conducted a baptism. So some were baptized by so-and-so, and some were baptized by so-and-so, and some were baptized by another person. And they began to argue amongst themselves. Ooh, well, I was baptized by him. Well, I was baptized by him. My baptism is better than yours. Paul even says in the first letter to the Corinthians, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you. I'm glad I'm not caught up in this. I'm glad I'm not part of this petty squabbling that's going on. Sort it out. And then in the second letter, in the reading we had earlier, he theologizes around the phrase, sort it out. Be reconciled. Be reconciled to God. Christianity has one message, and that is it. Be reconciled to God. Sort it out as far as God is concerned. Jesus put it very starkly. You're either for me or you're against me. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't sit on the fence. Thousands of years earlier, Moses had said to the people, standing on the threshold of the promised land, I place before you today a choice, life or death. Choose life. Be reconciled to God. Choose life. Atheism is a relatively recent phenomenon. There weren't many atheists around until fairly recently. Well, there were always a few, the chattering classes, which part of every generation, who dared to suggest that perhaps there wasn't a God. But by and large, atheism is a fairly recent phenomenon. And all sorts of reasons are given why people don't believe in God. I've got a theory about it, which, wondering out loud, I offer to you. I think people deny the existence of God, suggest that they're atheistic, because they realize that to believe in God would make life, they imagine, rather more complicated than it is. Deep down, they know there is a God. But the consequences for them, as they imagine it, of believing that to be so are too great, would require too great a sacrifice on their part. So they try to bury God deep within themselves. Paul is saying to such people, stop struggling because your struggle is futile. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to the fact that there is a God. Stop resisting. Stop denying. Stop fighting it. Just accept it for what it is. If only you would be prepared to acknowledge it. It is the inevitable conclusion one is bound to draw simply from being alive in this world. Be reconciled to the fact that there is a God. Give up the struggle. I meet numbers of people who go out of their way to explain to me why they don't believe in God. I switch off halfway through very often. It's like holding the phone out here when someone's talking to you, because I've heard it so many times. And I just think, oh, give it up. Methinks you do protest too much. But Paul wants to push the point just a little bit further. He says to his audience, not only should you be reconciled to God, but you need to be reconciled to this as well. Whether you like it or not, God has already reconciled himself to you. I had a marvelous exchange with someone who lives not too far away. They once suggested to me, are you trying to make me believe in God? And I said, I'm not that concerned really, because God already believes in you. And they looked at me a bit odd, a little bit sideways, and I think they've always wondered what I meant by that. But what I mean by this is, God's already sorted it out as far as you are concerned. He's just waiting for you to respond. God has acted. Now you respond. We don't have to do anything. We just have to accept what's offered. It's like when a hand is offered and you shake it. Sometimes a handshake is the hardest thing to accept. Be reconciled to God. God is holding out his hand, and he wants you to grasp it. And then he goes on, and he says, okay, we are reconciled to God, saying thank you, responding for the act of reconciliation made possible in Christ. Now there is a practical consequence that attaches to having been reconciled to God. You now need to be reconciled to each other. I mentioned early on in the sermon how we take our grievances to the grave. Well, the challenge for us as Christians is not to allow that to happen. Sometimes there are things that only ministers can say, so I'm going to say them. All of us have people we know who we've fallen out with. They may be in this building with us. They may share a home with us. They may be part of our family circle. They may be part of the neighborhood in which we live, the workplace, the friendship group, whatever. All of us, because we're human, have people whom we've fallen out with, who we don't get on with, who we don't speak to anymore, who we wish were dead. To use Paul's words, I urge you, brethren and sisters, be reconciled. Don't take it to the grave. And if we can't be reconciled one with another, how can we expect others who don't believe as we do? John put it in his first letter even more bluntly. Scripture is very blunt, you know. If you say you love God and then hate your brother, you are a liar, says John. If you say you love God and then hate your brother, you are a liar, because the two are incompatible. You cannot love God and hate your fellow believer, your brother in Christ. Sort it out. Be reconciled. The challenge which is at the heart of the gospel. There were tears feet deep in that room in Egypt when all of that family got together and hugged and kissed one another. I love the end of it. It was only at the end, after all the hugging and kissing was over, that they were then able to talk to each other. They had to get the emotion out of the way first. Feet deep in tears. Well, we were a few feet deep earlier. But wouldn't it be good, metaphorically speaking, if this morning, even here, we were feet deep in tears as we became reconciled, sisters and brothers in Christ.